Free Talk 1400, 732. It is 31 degrees, blustery today with a moderate chance of snow. Near steady temperatures in the lower 30s. Come tonight, blustery, cloudy, low in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, a high in the lower 30s. Joining us this morning on Straight Talk 1400 is Jack Genever, and Jack is running for mayor of Crystal City. How are you, sir?
Hi, Matt. Great to be here.
Great to be with you. Most people know you as the president of C4, Concerned Citizens for Crystal City. And so you have been, and I've seen you at so many meetings. So I guess this was the issue where you start going to a lot of meetings. But tell me about your decision to run for mayor, because it's one thing to be involved. Another thing to run for mayor, right?
Yeah, well, I have a stigma for one thing. I mean, in the Leader newspaper, it actually had the front page smelter foe to run for mayor, and so I've got this concerned citizen C4 smelter foe stigma, and I'm not just the one issue type of guy. I like you said, I've been to all these meetings. Now, why am I running for mayor? Because this is a very critical time. We've been saying the last couple of elections are critical because of the types of things that are going on in Crystal City, but basically the next term, the next 4 years for mayor, will help decide what goes on with that PPG property, as long as this big port project that we just saw just last week.
Okay.
So those types of decisions are going to be made in the next 4 years, and those types of decisions will be carried on for hundreds, possibly hundreds of years for, you know, future generations.
Right. Yeah, they'll have a lasting impact. I'll get your impression of the port study in just a couple minutes, but if you did win election for mayor, the contract is already signed for Wings. So how would you approach it, I guess, to make sure that they follow everything they agreed to? I mean, what do you do at that point?
Well, specifically with the Wings project, we don't know where that's at, and the whole thing, why this whole started, why there was a controversy, was because nobody knew except a select few. But given that, you know, let's move forward. What happens if it doesn't happen? You know, we just saw last week that they were behind in payments for 3 months, of which, by the way, those payments wouldn't have been due at all if it wasn't for me and my group, the concerned citizens, because those are the types of things that they put into the lease amendment that we fought for when we started coming to city meetings.
By the way, let's just talk about them. Fees that the city has to pay, legal fees, legal bills,
right.
And the other part of it was property taxes on that property, because of the lease, a government entity doesn't pay property taxes,
exactly.
But that
exactly.
would have been a big hit for the school district.
Right, it's actually called payment in lieu of property tax, and that wasn't something in the original lease agreement, so
okay.
you're absolutely right. But what happens is, okay, so if that project does move forward, I'm the perfect person to oversee that, because I understand all of the issues, I understand the technologies, I understand the regulatory agencies. I've been involved with all these. If it doesn't go through, now here's the stipulation. I don't know if everybody knows this or not. Then they have 1 year to find another tenant. If they don't find another tenant in 1 year, Wings gets the opportunity, actually has the right to buy that property from the city for a dollar. So I think the opposite is what a lot of people believe. They say, well, I heard the city can buy it for a dollar. That's not true at all. Wings can buy that for a dollar if they don't decide on a tenant. So that decision, too, if that does not happen, which we have been very skeptical of from the very beginning. I talked to a lot of smart people about this, and they looked at the original things that were talked about, and they said there's no way that's going to be done in 5 years. And now it's 2.5 years into that 5 years, and nothing's been done. And it's not just that you have to turn some dirt in 5 years. You actually have to have it up and operational in 5 years. So the feasibility of it's getting smaller and smaller, and the possibility that something else has to happen, will the next mayor will be instrumental in that decision.
So it's not your intention to try and break the lease or anything else. You just want to follow through on what's going on, and if it does fall apart, you want to be there to make sure that the next tenant is going to be a good neighbor to the citizens of Crystal City.
Right. And I think my opponent has proven that he does not really oversee or pay attention to the things that are going on. Repeatedly at council meetings, we'll ask things like, who's the financer? Where's the permitting process? And he just says, well, it's all in Jim Kennedy's ballpark. Jim Kennedy, which is, you know, the the owner of Wings, actually is Wings. It's not some big corporation. Wings is just Jim Kennedy and his wife.
Okay. Let me ask you this. We start off saying I'm not a one-issue guy. What are some of the other things in Crystal City that you think are priorities that you'd like to, pay more attention to, emphasize more? There's other there's roads, streets, bridge, all this kind of stuff.
Right. Well, my qualifications come into play here, and basically those qualifications are from attending all the city council meetings for the last 2.5 years. I missed a handful of them, really, in the last 2.5 years. And from what I see, I think the city workers do a pretty good job. I mean, the street department, the water department, I've watched what they do. Police department, excellent. But there's other things that are going on that are very important, like the comprehensive plan. For example, Crystal City has not had a comprehensive plan since 1969, September of 1969. So now it's over 40 years old. We're in the process of adopting a master plan, but it is very important to get citizen input on that. And this administration, my opponent's administration, has not shown that they are very good, or actually, I would say, negligent at getting citizen input on anything.
What do you think of the city administrator?
Andy? Yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy. I like him.
All right. I was saying, of course, they haven't had a city administrator in a while, but I know that's something, they hired in Andy Hickson as a city administrator, and that's something that I guess they're working on right now, is that comprehensive plan.
Right, right. And, that they really, they farm that out to some people that really know how to do that, and they've already got that done, the preliminary plan. I'm actually on the what they're calling the executive board. It's really should be the overseeing board or the advisory committee.
Sure.
On that, I was appointed to that about a month or two ago. Another important thing is the state audit. The current administration, my opponent's administration, said that they gave a two-line response to a very important state audit that the citizens paid a lot of money for, and they said we're gonna address everything in the next year, in the next 12 months. That's not enough for me. I want the citizens to know how we're going to address every single one of those things in the state audit. And it's good for the city. I mean, we've all said it'd be good for the city, and the state audit was worth it. But we need to make sure that we make the changes that were proposed in that state audit. Very important.
I didn't see anything in the audit that was, criminal, but I did see a lot of little stuff. And that takes a plan. You know what I mean? If you're going to correct issue by issue. And we can debate back and forth how serious the violations were. But we would both agree there's a lot of little stuff in there, too. And if you're going to address all of them, that takes some planning and organization.
Well, there's a lot of big stuff in there, too. I mean, in the order of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, I mean, we're not talking small change. So I wouldn't simplify it that way. There is some small stuff, I agree, but I wouldn't say it's all small stuff.
Okay. Let me ask you about your reaction to the port study. This is a 118-page document, the study itself. There's been two different meetings on it, and I'm just going to kind of ask you your initial blush or your take at this point concerning the port study.
118 pages, and I heard you say that you spent a weekend reading it, and I did too, and I went, yeah, we ought to get together and have a couple of beers and read a port study.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed. I mean, at least we're seeing some diligence. Somebody did a feasibility study. That's something we've been talking about for years. You don't just throw a project out to the public and say we're going to move forward. So this is great, and the way that they're going to repurpose the Herculaneum property, I think that's wonderful. They have to think of something to do with that. It's a little early to tell how it's exactly going to affect Crystal City. I will say that we talked about the comprehensive plan. Why that's important is because cities first adopt a comprehensive plan, and then you make recommendations on how to move forward with industry, with residential, with commercial, based on that comprehensive plan. This city did not do that. In fact, they should have done it before they rezoned 1/3 of the city to industrial back in 2008, I think it was June of 2007, and nobody attended that meeting. It was poorly advertised. We really found out about it when the smelter deal happened in September of 2007. After that happened, we asked for maps in City Hall about how the zoning was done. They wouldn't give it to us. We finally started getting maps February or March of 2008. So that's the types of things that we're dealing with. We have to, I've got a new motto for this. It's not what we could do. We see all these projects with all this high technology and all this jobs that we're getting. It's not what we could do, but it's what we should do. We should do this right, and we're not doing the proper planning. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Are you against industrial development?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, no,
I've got that stigma. Well, I'm an anti-smelter guy, right?
Yeah, there's just a couple questions like that. I don't want anybody to be confused about where you stand. You're not against development per se.
Right.
You're not anti-industry.
Right.
Absolutely. You want the process to run differently, and you want to make sure that whoever ends up, whether it's a port or anything else, that's something everybody can live with.
Right, and if you look back in time, when this was first proposed, there was nothing about the type of technology or anything. Of course, the people that were supporting it knew about it. They had that information but weren't sharing it. And now that information's out, I'm really impressed with that technology. I think that is the way to move forward with the iron and steel industries. But it's still immature, and that's why we have to worry about the feasibility of it. Now, I've got this. I want to talk about the smelter type. I feel that is a real divisive issue. I've gone door to door, and they say, "Are you for the smelter or against the smelter?" And I think that's very divisive. People can't get over that. And I would like for it to be, "Are you for jobs or against jobs?" I think we're all for jobs. I'm definitely for jobs. And I think one of the things we have to worry about is whatever we propose, if it's going to be feasible and if it's going to produce jobs in the near future. That's what we've been asking all along, and I've got all sorts of ideas on how to do that. I want to beef up the commercial district. I want it to make it look better. I want people to want to come here to do business. I want the businesses that are here to stay here. I don't want to pass sign ordinances that makes them angry and want to leave. That's basically what's happening right now. And I want industry to come here. Did you know that there's a $2.3 billion award that was just done by the Obama administration on June 8th for clean tech manufacturing? $2.3 billion nationwide.
I did not.
You know who one of the major beneficiaries were?
No idea.
PPG.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, to make solar stuff for solar panels.
Huh.
They're going to do it down in Louisiana, but PPG's still, I hope they're still our friend. Maybe we can invite them back and make glass again. And that's one of the industries that are taking off. We shouldn't be. I will proactively, as mayor, I will proactively go out and solicit for business like that. I don't see that in this administration, my opponent's administration.
So if the back to the iron ore just for a second, if all the clean technologies that were in the latest proposal by Wings, if they followed through on that, with no smokestacks and all that other, and you mentioned immature. I want people to understand what that means. The new technology isn't tried, true, tested,
right,
been around
right.
for years, so it's kind of, does this work, does this not work? A great
right.
idea, but will it work? But if all that clean stuff was put in, would you be against that project? Or,
well, Matt, here's the difference between me and my opponent.
Okay.
If that's what the people want and I disagree with it, that's what the people get. I will govern for the people.
Okay.
I still have reservations about that type of technology just because the thing, you got a whole bunch of bulk that comes in and a whole bunch of bulk that goes out. And so there'll be a lot of things that you need to control. And like we said, it's so immature that we could be the guinea pig for that. And I'm worried about the security of our city.
Okay.
Very much so.
All right, I got to ask you this. You started to express some frustration trying to get information on a variety of topics, and you wouldn't get it at first. Long story short, lawsuits filed.
Right.
You still got a couple against the city. What would happen if you're suing the city and you become mayor? Is that like a conflict there? Do you drop the suit? What happens?
Well, I've definitely given that a lot of thought and had considered getting out of the lawsuit, because it's not just me. It's a group of citizens that oppose it. And it's not just against the smelter. It was against, like you said, the secrecy in government. In fact, it's the Sunshine Law. I think I am speaking for the people. It's like what I said. It's not what you could do. It's what you should do. You should do this right. And to do it right, you need to do it according to the law. And the lawsuit was not lost, by the way. It was dismissed. And I, the truth is, I had never heard anybody say that the city did not break the law. Not even their lawyers. They always just kind of, they always went through the process of the suing and came directly after me to get some anonymous users on my website. And I was forced into either revealing anonymous identities or having the case dismissed. And I'm sorry, I did the right thing. I didn't reveal those identities.
The website is...
Jackformayor.com.
Jackformayor.com.
Yeah, I have a new website.
I'm thinking a clear pillar, but you do have a website. It is for... it tells a lot about your background, a little bit about what you do. Some of the things you stand for, Jack, and it's you spell out for it. It's F-O-R, not the number for it.
Correct.
Jack,
right,
F-O-R, mayor.com.
Right.
Any thoughts you want to leave us with?
Well, I think this is great. I think this is a very critical election. I can't emphasize that enough to your listeners, and I think it deserves more time, and I would like to challenge my opponent to a debate right here on KJFF or any venue for that matter.
All right. We'll leave it right there. Thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it myself.
All right. That is Jack Ginever joining us today on Straight Talk 1400.